Welcome back to another evening, another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir. And we are beginning the new Shar, the new chapter, Shar Habusha, Shar of Shame. This is CD number 12, and it's Shir number 1 for Shar Habusha. We will be discussing the different aspects of Busha, different aspects of shame, whether it means having the feeling of shame ourselves, embarrassment to do what is wrong. Of course, we will include in this chapter the Amida of Busha in terms of embarrassing or shaming others. Let's begin on the top of page of Daf Lamed Zayin. Amr Chachamim, the Chachamim said, Haseichel hu haboshes, vahaboshes hu haseichel. Simply translated, this means Seichel, which is translated sometimes to mean common sense, which is not often so common, but it is really a better translation, rather, would be intellect. Seichel, decision-making, intellectual thinking. Hu haboshes is shame, and shame is seichel. So obviously this needs to be explained. What does it mean, first of all, haseichel hu haboshes? Seichel is shame, intellect is shame. Shame comes from intellect. In other words, it's the expression of one's understanding of the situation that he's in. That's what it means, haseichel hu haboshes, because once the person has the intellectual understanding of the situation that he's in, then if he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, then he has the sense, the midah of boshes, and that's what the Yoruch HaTzadik means when he says haseichel hu haboshes. The second part of the term, haboshes hu haseichel, that shame is seichel, this can be explained that the amount of shame he has shows how much seichel he has. The more seichel, the more shame. So that's what it means, v'haboshes hu haseichel. The more shame a person has, the more seichel it is shown that he possesses. Ki ala odom, let's continue. Ki ala odom v'chava nema about odom and chava, it is said, v'yu shneim harumim odom v'yishto. Odom and chava, his wife, were naked. V'lo yisbo shashu. And they weren't ashamed. Now, why weren't they ashamed? So, one of the Mefarshim, known as the Tzedek LaDerech, explains that there was no need for modesty because the Yetzer Hara wasn't active yet until they ate from the Yetzer Hadas. Since there was no Yetzer Hara yet existent at that time, so there was no need for modesty. There was no yeti. The nakedness didn't mean anything. The Sephardim explains that everything that they did, all their actions and their organs, were only there to serve Hashem and not for satisfaction of desire. So since the parts of the body, every part of the body, was used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what is the sense of shame? For example, imagine a person puts on tefillin in the morning and he rolls up his sleeve of his arm to put the tefillin on. You ever see a person in shul feeling a sense of shame, hiding in the back of the shul somewhere to lift the arm, the sleeve off of the arm so he can put the tefillin? No, because the arm is used to put tefillin on. That is the part of the body at that time which is used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, making it naked, so to speak, uncovering the arm at that time in order to put the tefillin on, it's no shame, obviously, because the purpose of that organ of the body, the arm, that limb of the body, is for the sake of serving Hashem. So that's what the Sephardim means, that since every single part of the body, including the private parts of the body, were there only for the sake of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there was no need for shame. Let's continue. V'lohayu yodim derech hatznius. They didn't know the way of tznius, of modesty. U'lahavchim bein tov u'bein ra. And to differentiate between what was good and what was bad. U'lachar she'ochlu me'etz hadas. But after they had eaten from the etz hadas, Nehemiah, it says in the pasuk, "Vatipakachna einei shneihem." Their eyes, the eyes of both of them, opened up. So this can be explained. You know, this the Rashi, together with the Sifsei Chachamim, says that once they ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, they were now intellectually aware of their nakedness, allowing the sense of shame to surface. And that's why the pasuk says, Vayedu ki erumim, Vayedu, Yodas. Das means they knew or understood. So hence the connection of intellect and shame. Once they understood, once they had the das, Vayedu, then, and only then, were they able to have the sense of shame. Now, Rav Gifter says something very interesting. Rav Gifta says, as the tells the Rosh Hashiva, Zichrono Levracha, says that they became aware that their organs can be a tool for lust and sin, causing the sense of shame to enter, because now they understood for the first time, hey, wait a second, the private parts of the body are not only there to serve Hashem, they're there for my own pleasure and satisfaction, and for sin, and for lust purposes. So that caused a sense in shame. And Rav Gifta continues and says that following that, there was obviously a need to dress, to cover up. And he explains that the less a person recognizes the sin, the more modestly he dresses. He wonders, you know, if you're wondering why, and this Rav Gifta said, and Rav Gifta was Nifter some 10 years ago or so, and he says, if you're wondering why, as the generations go on, as time seems to proceed, the degree of immodesty is increased in our generation. People are walking around with fewer and fewer clothing. Why is that? Because there is no recognition of sin. People don't care about sin. So I'm sinning. It's a free world. So since I'm sinning, so therefore there's more immodesty. Because why do I have to cover up? The only reason I should have to cover up the parts of my body that normally should be covered, that is because I have the recognition that the Yetzirah could get me to use those parts of the body in an immoral fashion, in a sinful fashion. Therefore, I have the recognition of the sin. I feel bad about it, so I cover up. But if we live in a time or in a place where people don't care about sin, if there's no hakara for the chait, so what? So what is immoral is showing. So I'm marching around in a manner which causes people to see and to have thoughts, or for me to have thoughts. So what makes the difference? Why do I have to cover it? If I don't care about it, then there is no need to cover up. Let's go further. V'chein kol balei chayim zulasi adam. And as we look around the world, all living creatures, with the exception of man, ein lohem busha, they have no sense of shame. Hoil ve'ein lohem chachma, because they have no wisdom, they have no seichel, they have no recognition. So if they have no recognition, so if a dog relieves itself, you know, in a public place, well, how is that? Why is that? Because they have no recognition of what they are doing, so there's no sense of shame. Any person who is referred to as a chacham lev, a person who's smart at heart, he understands the value of seichel, of intellect, and chachma, and wisdom. Ki voyagia el hamitas advarim, that brings a person to the truth of things. Uba gam yagia lahodos piyichud baro, and in that manner he is able to attain, to reach the understanding of the oneness of the Creator, Baruch Hu, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, v'la'avodoso, and to the service of Hashem, uva'yuchal lehidomos lemalachim. And in that manner, he can be compared to malachim, and this doesn't mean actually we are like malachim, but it means by being makir Hashem like malachim, we're able to have the same recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, of His awesome powers, and what He is, just like the malachim are. Okay, let's continue with the next paragraph. Akivin shemalas ha-chachma gedola kol kach. And since this attribute of chachma is so great, of intellect is so great, tzricha shetehe chaverta hadom ela, so its related trait, which is compared to which, himidas ha-busha, which is the trait of busha, of shame, krov ala b'malasa, it also needs to be close to it in value, in stature. And he says, I'll prove it to you that one is compared to the other, that Busha and Seichel are compared to one another. You don't find a person who is a Baishan, who has a sense of shame, who lacks intellect. And the opposite is true as well. You don't find a person who is a daitan, who has a high level of wisdom, of intellect, without having a sense of shame. Now the question is being asked. Whether it's in our generation, and certainly in previous generations, you had great so-called scholars. You had great people, particularly in the field of music, in the field of theater, in the field of art, who were obviously extremely wise people, intellectual people. But on the other hand, we know that many of them, or at least some of them, were extremely immoral people. And they had, as they say, no shame. So how could it be, if the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us now that one goes with the other, they work in concert. If a person has intellect, he has shame. If he doesn't have intellect, he doesn't have shame. And if he has shame, it's a riot, it's a proof that he has intellect. So what about these people in the previous generations, or in our generation, who seem to have a very high level of intellect, but they seem to lack the sense of shame completely? And perhaps the answer is that these people who are being referred to now, they are intellectuals, not in terms of intellect. They were extremely talented. They had a knack for certain things. They could have been brilliant in their field. They could have been brilliant and talented in creating music or showing us wonderful art. But in terms of what seichel really means, and as we've explained before around this table, seichel doesn't mean common sense. It doesn't really mean straightforward intellect. It means the sense of being able to make the proper decision. As the Peleoids, we said, explains, the Peleoids explains, if you look in the Peleoids under the word seichel, sin, the letter sin under the word for seichel, he explains that seichel really doesn't mean what the average person refers to as common sense or wisdom or brilliance. Seichel means the ability to see clearly what is correct and what is incorrect, and to be able to make the proper decision. And that is really connected to the neshama. If the neshama acts in a proper way, has the ability to see clearly, to be able to make the right decision. So these so-called brilliant and talented people, they may have been brilliant in their field, they may have been very smart in terms of brain power, but they didn't take their talents, they didn't use the ability, the potential for brilliance, or their brilliance, to fill the potential in terms of seeing what's right and seeing what's wrong. And the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us a person with seichel means a person who is willing to use his seichel, his intellect, so to speak, to make the right decisions. So a person always has a freedom of choice. He can be brilliant. On the other hand, you know, can make the biggest mistakes of his life. So it's no raya from these people whatsoever. Let's continue. We alkein, and therefore roi sheyishdada laadam lehisnaig b'amida chashuva hazos. It is worthy for a person to conduct himself in this chashuv amida ulishakim ba, and to wisen up to it, to the point that it is implanted, embedded within his soul, and raise it above his nature, and he has to bring it to the point that it is more chashuv, more important than his other midos. Why? Because through it, through the midah of shame, he's able to reach and attain the majority of virtues, v'imana bavura mikol midos megunos, and he's able to guard through it, through the midah of busha, from all disgraceful midos. So a person is wondering, how in the world could he escape sin if he works on this midah of busha? You know, the Maase is told about a student who came to his Rav, who came to his Rebbe, with an admission that he had for years and most of his life been sinning, and he begins to describe to his Rebbe, and the Rebbe stops him and he says, I really have no interest to know exactly the details of what you, how you sinned and what you sinned and where you sinned. But what can I do for you? And the student said, all I want to do is do tshuva, and I've done so many terrible things. I want to do tshuva, I want to repent. So the Rebbe said, listen, in your mind it seems that it may be very difficult to do tshuva, and as you say, you've committed so many sins. Take upon yourself, make a commitment for one thing, and one thing only, and that is MS. Commit to yourself that no matter what, you're going to tell the truth. And the student looks at his Rebbe and he says, I don't understand, Rebbe. I guess I wasn't clear enough. I've done so many terrible things, and if you allow me, I'll enumerate. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. And how is it that if I just commit to one mitzvah, and that is emes, how is it that it's going to prevent me? It's going to be a tshuva process, prevent me from doing all the sins and continuing to do the other sins. His Rebbe says, don't worry, just commit to yourself this one mitzvah of emes. No matter what you do or you're about to do, if somebody questions you, you will only tell the truth and nothing but the truth. No. So he accepts what the Rebbe, what the Rav had told him, and he leaves that place, and he continues on his merry way. And as he's walking down the marketplace, he sees a stand full of fruit, and Kimin Haga, the way he has sort of habituated himself, that when he sees something and nobody's looking, nobody's watching, he grabs one, he steals it. So he's walking by the fruit stand, he sees delicious apples, and he grabs one, and he continues walking, and he's about to take a bite out of it. And he stops for a moment and he thinks to himself, wait a second, if somebody approaches me and says, ah, delicious apple, where did you get that from? Now what am I going to say? I took upon myself, I committed to the Mida of Emes. That means I have to tell him the truth. I'm going to have to tell him that I stole it from the fruit stand. Oi, what an embarrassment. What shame it is. How can I look at someone's face and tell him outright, admit to the fact that I just stole it? No, he turns around and puts the apple back. And then he continues walking, and he's about to walk into a place of ill repute. In other words, some place of immorality. He shouldn't have been going there. And he's at the door of this building. He's about to walk in, and he thinks to himself again, oi, if I come home and somebody's going to ask me how I spent my day, where did I go, what did I do, and I committed myself to tell the truth, how am I going to tell them where I went? I'll feel terrible shame. Oi, gavalt. Nope. So one thing after the next, of course, he realized that anytime he contemplated sinning or doing something or seeing something or saying something, eating something, he realized that he wouldn't be able to face the shame of admission, and he did commit to telling the truth. And that, of course, made him a tremendous Baal Tshuva. So you see, what the Orech HaTzadikim says to us is very true. Ki bo yagiel rov hamalos, through this midah, through this trait of busha, of shame, we're able to attain the majority of midos and guard ourselves. As she finishes the paragraph, v'yimana bavura mikol midos magunos, and to guard ourselves from disgraceful midos. Let's continue to the next paragraph. Now we're going to find here, as busha is fabulous as a preventative measure, midas along the lines that we just explained, perhaps. Midas habusha hi goder godel umachitzas barzel lefnei kol avidos haveros. Listen to the language that he uses. This mida, this trait of busha, of shame, is a great fence and an iron barrier before all sins. Ki adam over kama veres baseiser, because people commit sins, many sins, he says, baseiser in private, ma she is bayes lasos mebnei bnei adam, that otherwise they'd be ashamed to do publicly in front of others. V'chein amr chachomim, and the famous incident, ki b'shas p'tiras Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, about to part from this world, amr lo tamido, says, Tamidim said to him, Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, Baruchinu, give us a final blessing before you leave this world. Amar lahem, so he said to them, Yehi ratzon, may it be the will of Hashem, she'emor shamayim aleichem k'mor bosav adam, that you should have fear of heaven as you have fear of a man of flesh and blood. Amrullo. So the Talmidim said to him the obvious question, Ad Khan Vesullo. We should fear Hashem as we fear human beings, and that is it. How much greater Hashem is, of course, than human beings. I certainly should imagine I should have more fear for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalahem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered them, Ulavai, like we say in Yiddish, Halavai, if only we would have that much shame for people as for Hashem, as we do for people, Teidu. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai continues and says to them, please let me inform you, when a person commits a sin, Omer, he says, Shelo yireini Adam, I just hope nobody sees me. And the Ein Yaakov, by the way, on this Gemara, is a Gemara in Brachas, and the Ein Yaakov with the Pirush Eitz Yosef says that it doesn't say any particular man, a friend, a relative, a Rebbe, a Chveis, a Chavar, a Shlo Yireini Adam, it says. That no man, it's not a person who you're afraid of necessarily, that has something over you, but any person, that Shlo Yireini Adam, that if only I hope nobody saw me. Why? Simply because there's a sense of shame. If somebody's going to see me commit this sin, I'll feel, as we see, booshed out, I'll feel terribly embarrassed. Because the person is concerned, he's afraid that it will lead to shame, to embarrassment. And then he finishes the paragraph, the Archa Tzadikim, and says, it is better that a person prevent himself or hold back from committing a sin because he is ashamed of people, of human beings. Can we talk shelo lishma, bo lishma? Obviously, the reason we shouldn't sin is not because of people. The reason we shouldn't sin is because we shouldn't sin, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't sin. But he says, human beings are human beings, and we don't have the sense of shame from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or fear or recognition of awe as we should from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says at the end, all right, listen, if that's what's going to get you to prevent yourself from sinning, you're going to stop sinning because a person is saying, we talk shelo lishma, that's not really the ultimate level, but that'll get us to bring ourselves to the level where we are not going to sin because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we shouldn't. The question is being asked, how is it that in our times, the youth of our generation, talking about the yeshiva world, whether it's yeshiva bachrim, yeshiva young men or young women in school, when yeshivas are not aware of this, and they are conducting themselves perhaps in manners that they shouldn't, and they are going about their merry way in terms of this issue of shame and sin. And I tell you the truth, as I once expressed to a group of teenagers that I was speaking with, I said to them, gentlemen, I said, I pity you and I envy you. I pity you because you are growing up in a generation that because of the media and technology and all the other things that we are exposed to these days, makes it extremely difficult for you to survive spiritually. You're exposed to absolutely, everything. If it's out there, if it's created, so to speak, then it's shown to everybody. So I pity you that you have the challenges, the difficulties that didn't exist even 25 years ago. Every generation, of course, has its challenges, but the degree of challenges, you had to, in our days, sort of like you had to search for it, you had to look for it, you have to go after it. But here it comes into your house, it comes in front of you, it comes no matter where you go, using your cell phone, using wherever, it's all over the place. So I pity you for that. On the other hand, I envy you, that if any of you are able to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and live a life of Torah and overcome the challenges that are presented. Wow, what a chelek and olam haba you have. I envy you, that I hope that that I can sit next to you in the world to come, because obviously the madrega you have reached to overcome such challenges is an extremely high madrega. So, you know, the previous generations didn't have to overcome such challenges. All right, so we had our own challenges, but not in comparison to yours. So I envy anyone here who was able to overcome these challenges. We'll ask you the shayla, our shayla, Simir Tashem, one day, because what you're able to overcome. You know, also, it must be understood that when someone is supposedly walking down the street and comes across something, you know, you're innocently driving, and all of a sudden you see a billboard, all of a sudden you see a bus, the side of a bus that has some kind of, you know, immoral picture on it. You know, we are not held accountable for that. That's onus. Onus rachmona patre. You're doing something innocent, and mitamo, all of a sudden something comes in front of your eyes. You know, as Rav Shvadron, I think we mentioned around here once, Rav Shvadron explained that's an ones. You weren't looking for it. You were acting innocently, and it presented itself. But it's the double take that they get you for. The double take. Why? Because the double take, as quick as it is, it is a decision to gaze. It's a decision to look at what you've seen. The avera is no avera. You're not here for seeing something. The avera is for looking at something, for gazing, and that, as quick as it is, it is a fraction of a second, but the decision was made that to look again or to continue looking. That we're held accountable for. So and that, because that's a decision-making, that's where the seichel is, that's where the intellect comes in. Do I make the decision to do what's right, or making the decision to do wrong? And that we have the ability, we have the potential. Having the neshamas that we do, we have the potential to overcome and be able to make the decision not to look at or not to do what is improper. Let's continue. Avalamalo el yona miridas abushehi. As he ended the previous paragraph, the highest madrega, the highest attribute of Busha is, she is Bais L'Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person should be ashamed before Hashem, K'inyin Shenema, like it says, Elokai Boshtu V'Nichlamti Lahorim Elokai Ponai Elechas. This is a pasuk in Ezra. In Ezra, in Sefer Ezra, where Ezra says, "My God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to raise my face before you." V'im Tachshel. And if a person will think, how could I be ashamed of someone who I cannot see with my eyes? You can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She's going to tell me, a human being, because I see him. Fine, I'll be ashamed in front of him. But how can I be ashamed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu I don't see? B'emes atah tzarech ladas. The Aruch HaTzadikim says, in truth, we need to know. Afal pi she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu nelo me'inei kol chai. Even though Hashem is hidden from the eyes of any living being, Ahu nimso balvavos, he is in our hearts, v'nigla b'machshavos, and he reveals himself in our thoughts, v'yasig ha-madregos shel ha-busha, v'zbodudu lachshov b'gedulas Hashem Baruch Hu. And if a person just contemplates, and zbodudus means in solitude, and just take a moment of a person's daily routine, busy life, and contemplate just for a moment of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's able to reach this level, great level of busha, of shame, uvezachar tamid es HaKadosh Baruch Hu shero maisav, and that we should, and by remembering that Hashem sees all of our action, Ubochen Kol Yosav, and he searches our innards, Vetzova Machshavosav, and he seeks and he searches into our thoughts. And truth be told, it is not so difficult for us to contemplate this, to think this, to consider this, that although HaKadosh Baruch we cannot see, you know, and we think Hashem can't see us, because of the advancements of technology these days, who would ever think, just 30 years ago, if somebody would have told us, you can take a machine, point it at somebody, flip a switch, and you could film something and see it immediately. You know, in our days, we had to take the film on a wheel, on a cassette, or store, not even wasn't even a cassette on reels, and we had to send it away. 2 weeks later, you had something, you had to put it into a projector and watch it on the wall or against the screen. Now, it's mamish right in front of you. Everything is being filmed, and of course, we have the technology today that, as we sit here now, gentlemen, might as well smile because we're being filmed. You have, once in this role, we have Google Earth. Google Earth is Machayev. As we say, Hillel Machayev Esoaniyim. Hillel in his poverty studied Torah, so nobody who was poor has an excuse that he couldn't study Torah. Once you have Google Earth, where they have the technology that the company has a satellite up there, who knows how many miles away, and it's able to film our actions. When you're walking around the streets, they can see it. They even have the capability to pierce into our windows. And they're working on a system that be able to pierce through the walls, that be able to film everything. And there are Privacy Act lawsuits going on because of it. But if you have the technology, so for us to imagine if Panasonic can do it, if Google can do it, then obviously the cameras of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it. And one step further, they haven't figured out, although I'm sure Bill Gates is working on it, they haven't figured out yet how to film our thoughts. And they can only film our actions. They can't film our thoughts yet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's camera not only films our actions, and he films our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. And let me read to you, gentlemen. This is the Targum at the end of Koheles, where the Orchas Adikim began in the beginning of the Sefer. Sov Dovar, this is Koheles, the end of Koheles, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Sov Dovar, Hakol Nishba, at the end of all, everything is heard, as Elokim Yerov, as Mesvashvash Mor, keep his Torah, fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Targum says, listen to these words, Sov Piskam De'ish Adad De'is Ambed V'alma Betzina, at the end will be that everything that is done, Betzina, in private, kola asid lehis parsima ulishtema lechol b'nei enosha, everything will be publicized, will be shown and heard to all people. Imagine such a thing, that everything that we do eventually, from here we know the concept that at the end of our lives we'll sit in a theater. If you have to make it real, think of it this way. At the end of our lives we're going to sit in a theater with our friends and relatives, and they're going to push play and they're going to watch our show. Now imagine the glory of everybody seeing the mitzvahs that I did, that I did privately, that weren't publicized in the world. I did it behind, you know what I mean? Behind the scenes, everybody's going to see my goodness, my greatness. On the other hand, Chas v'Shalom, people are going to see, oi, all the averes that I committed and the sense of shame, of busha that we're going to have. By the way, if it's any consolation, you know, anybody who was invited to your show, you get invited to their show, because if it means we're friends and relatives, then hey, then if they came to your show, you can go to their show. So you see the concept here right in the Targum. There's no hiding. If Google Earth can do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly can. So certainly, as we were saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it, and for no other reason, some people use the technology and it could be a depressing thought. Oh, you go, well, somebody's watching, I'll go crazy, become a nervous wreck. It depends on a person's attitude. Perhaps we should view it as an encouragement, because sometimes it's difficult to do the right thing, and it's difficult to stop from doing the wrong thing. If I know I'm being filmed, if I know somebody's watching, and certainly if I know if it'll be shown later on to my friends and relatives, it'll become public knowledge. So if that can prevent me from doing what I really want to do, the neshama really wants to do it. The person really wants to do the right thing. The Yetzer Hara prevents us from doing the right thing. So if something like Google Earth or something like this Targum could get us to knock the Yetzer Hara off, then we're back to what we call normal. That's we'll do what the Neshama wants us to do, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And certainly we have the capability of doing it. And the technology of today and the knowledge of this Pasuk in Koheles with the Targum could act as a means by which we can strengthen ourselves and do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, and prevent ourselves from doing something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to do. Okay, we will continue, Amir Tzor Hashem, the next time we get together.